The following program, the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, is paid for in full by Acunet Mortgage, LLC, an equal housing lender, consumeraccess.org number 255368. The advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts and guests of Acunet Mortgage, LLC, and not WTMJ or Good Karma Brands.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, getting you inside information on buying, selling, and financing your home with expert advice from Acunet Mortgage and Realty. And now, here's Brian and David Wickert.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, Easter Sunday edition. I'm Brian Wickert, licensed real estate broker with Acunet Realty Advisors and the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage, along with my son, David, who's one of our senior loan consultants at Acunet Mortgage and our chief client experience officer. David, do you still have your real estate license too?
I do. I did my continuing ed, I think it was over a year ago, but yes,
yeah,
I have both.
We'll get to do it again. But he's not affiliated with Acunet Realty Advisors. He's just kind of a licensed guy in the sidelines.
I just went
anyway,
to get it.
Yeah, my individual NMLS ID number is 259610, and David's NMLS ID number is 328847. If you have a question or a comment, don't call today because we pre-recorded the show on Friday because it's Easter Sunday weekend. You could text the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620, and we'll get that and answer any of your questions. And remember, you can grab a podcast of this show wherever you normally get your podcast. So, David, since it's Easter Sunday, you told me you have a story about a pastor, a man of the cloth, a reverend,
yeah,
who is retiring and you're trying to help him do something. Give us the lowdown.
So this is one of those examples where I described there's real life and then there's mortgage life. Because in real life, Reverend Tim is kind of a pinch hitter pastor.
Sure.
For a congregation that is between pastors, I think he'll come in for some amount of time and be like, "Hey, I'm your guy." You know,
they call that an interim pastor, David. In the
pinch hit pastor just has a certain,
yeah,
you know,
pinch hit pastor.
To it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I got it.
But you know, kind of given, so like in real life, is he doing his work and earning income and paying his bills on time? Well,
yep.
Yeah, right. You know, it's always funny when I access, you know, someone's credit and they've got just like one credit card with like, you know, mm-hmm, $40 on it. It's like,
yeah,
that is a clear sign that you make money, you pay your bills, and you are clean.
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the problem is, you know, they want, not the problem. Dad, you want to guess? They're currently in up north Wisconsin. Why do they want to move to the greater Milwaukee area?
I'm going to guess because it's warmer in southeastern Wisconsin than northern Wisconsin.
Well, that. But the greatest reason of all, grandbabies.
Oh.
Because they want to be closer to their grandkids in the Milwaukee area. And so they want to, they're not, you know, in a place where they can just like cut a check for a house. They,
right,
they want to take out a mortgage. And
thank goodness,
when we pivot, well, right. But when we pivot from real life, boy, you pay your bills on time and clearly we can show that you do so. And then when we pivot over to mortgage world, it's like, ugh, well, yeah,
you don't have a job.
Well, because your friendly mortgage lender cares. If we were to rank the things your friendly mortgage lender cares about, income, I think, would be top of the list. Yes,
yeah,
you need to have
to
some
repaid
down payment. Yes,
yeah,
but it's because your mortgage lender wants you to make the monthly payment, and actually, funny enough, no faster than the amortization. You always can pay faster, but your friendly, yeah, mortgage lender doesn't want it back any faster than what's on the sheet if they can help it. And so income is, especially for these clients, man, they got the down payment, no problem. Not enough to make 100% down payment, as we,
sure,
say, but a great down payment. And so it's just like, ugh, okay, well, because he doesn't have a future congregation.
Correct,
right?
Yeah, because he's a pinch hitter, and the team that needs that pinch hitter has yet to be identified.
Right, exactly. I think he is concluding with his current congregation, let's say Memorial Day, he's going to be a free agent again.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a referral from their realtor, who I really like, sharp. And because this is not just your ordinary, like, hey, I'm a W-2 engineer at Rockwell, you know,
yeah,
and my spouse,
yeah,
works
a little,
at Kohl's Corporate.
Something interesting here. So what's this? Did you fix it?
What do you guess? What do you think my first question was out of the gate?
Are you over 59 and a half and can we take IRA withdrawals?
Yes, that was exactly it. I tried to feather the question, you know, not so directly all the time, like, so how old are you? But some savvy version therein. And lo and behold, yes, they are over the magic age of 59 and a half, which is the threshold by Congress and implemented by the Internal Revenue Service that, hey, when you hit 59 and a half, you are retirement age. And so that opens up one of AccuNet's favorite tools for income, which is he has been a pastor. Our client, Pastor Tim, has been a pastor for decades. And through the synod, or, you know, the organizing entity for, he has been setting money aside into a retirement account year after year, no matter what parish he's at. So he's got this, you know, asset, right? This big chunk of money.
Is it in a pension?
It is a deferred compensation qualified account.
Okay, great. So he controls the money himself.
Exactly. So after this first break, let me tell you how we turn asset into income so that we can lend him the mortgage money. More after this. You're listening to the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Home buying advice from the guys who know it best. This is the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in this Easter Sunday or downloading the podcast. David, you want to continue with your story of the retiring, well, sort of semi-retiring pinch-hit pastor who wants to move from up north Wisconsin, where he is an interim pastor, and come down to southeastern Wisconsin and relocate, but you found out that he's got a bunch of retirement money. And so how are we going to turn that? I have two questions. How are you going to turn that into qualifying income? And couldn't he just take money out of a non-retirement account and use that as income? You want to take that one first?
Let me answer the second question first. In the eyes of mortgage underwriting, that is not, well, and in the eyes of the IRS, if you just pull money out of a savings account at Chase Bank, that is not income.
Right.
That is not, because you're not paying taxes on it. When you take money from a qualified account, that you're paying, because you didn't pay taxes on it when you put it in, Uncle Sam says, may I have some taxes, please, at the time you take it out. That is treated like income, like you're working that W-2 job anywhere in America.
But let's also point out, if you happen to have put your retirement money into a Roth IRA, you can take the Roth IRA money out tax-free because you paid income tax on it before you put it in. And then can we use Roth IRA distributions as income? I think
that's what she asked. I would need to reference the guidebook.
Okay.
The preference is always a pre-tax account. Mm.
IRA. All right. So how are you going to jingle this up for Pastor Tim?
Well, so what we do is you're trying to take the asset and turn it into income that you can put it on the application. So let's just say he had $360,000 in a IRA.
Or whatever his defined retirement plan is.
Yep. You take that total amount and you divide by 36 to represent 36 months. Why not 48? Why not 24?
Yeah,
because someone in an office in DC at Fannie and Freddie was like, 36 months.
Let me say it a different way. The mortgage world wants to pretend that whatever your income stream is, whether you're working at Walmart or you're taking money out of a retirement account, likelihood of continuance for 36 months. That's what we're going for. Which
God always, help you at 37, but 36.
Well, and what if you're an elected official? You know, what if you're a member of Congress? Well, can those guys get any mortgages because they only have 2-year job agreements?
No doubt there's a provision. I just haven't had the pressure.
Unless you're a congressman or anyway. All right, so back to Tim. So you're going to have him take one withdrawal before closing?
Exactly. Because, so take that, my $360,000 example, divide by 36, bam, I can put on the mortgage application $10,000 in income as if that's his salary from any congregation or any W-2 job he's ever had.
Fantastic.
But the extra cool thing, by the way, just to pivot on the interesting parts of mortgage lending, anyone who is of the cloth, as you said, gets a special tax break.
Oh, yeah.
On
this.
The how on the amount that they take out of a retirement account that is dedicated to housing.
Called a housing allowance.
Exactly. And so he doesn't have to pay taxes. So he's kind of, he's almost incentivized to like take out a big mortgage because correct. Then he can take, it's kind of a savvy move. Hey, I'm going to take some of my pre-tax money, dedicate it toward my housing payment, not pay taxes for that money on my housing payment. Then in the future, when they go sell, I am not a
tax advisor, but
person. But proceeds up to certain limits do not require that you pay capital gains on that.
And as long as you've lived there for 3 out of the last 5 yes. years. So you do have to live there for 5 years, and or at least 3, I think, in order to claim that capital gains exemption.
Yes.
So if you are a reverend or no one, we have been doing these pastoral loans for all 25 years of our existence.
Yeah, and because it's not just on this new IRA piece, because we've helped many practicing pastors mm-hmm. who are working do that same thing. And what many congregations do is they designate between this is your regular pay and then, you know, this is your, so let's say you make $5,000 a month, $3,000 of that is, you know, to go to your groceries and $2,000 of that is dedicated for housing payment. That no housing taxes. Payment yeah. portion, you don't have to pay taxes on. And crazy as this sounds in mortgage lending, you actually can gross that up by 25%.
Oh, we can gross up the housing allowance. Okay, yeah. Because it's tax-free.
These are the weeds of mortgage lending.
You would think that we would have a bumper crop of ministers. With those kind of tax breaks, David, who wouldn't want to be a minister in today's world? Yeah. Come on. All right, when we come back, you know what? I'm going to give an update on a transaction we've been tracking, the big purchase along the Gulf Coast of Florida, and that's going to also lead us to real estate commissions, and got a little update on that as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
Getting you into the home of your dreams. Here's more of the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Brian Wickert, the elder. That's David Wickert, the younger, taller, more handsome Wickert over there, my son. And if you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, we've been tracking a lovely purchase of about a $2.95 million home on one of the Gulf Coast Keys in Florida. And if you tuned into last week's show, and this was a 30-day close, by the way, and it was a cash offer. It was written as a cash offer. And if you tuned in last week, you know that just 6 days before closing, the buyers learned that because they were allowing the sellers to rent back the home for a month after closing, which is common as dirt,
yeah.
right? I mean, that, rent back after closing. But it turned out when they mentioned that to their insurance broker, they said, whoops, no insurance company that we represent. This was an independent insurance broker. We don't have a single insurance carrier who will provide insurance on a rental property, even if it's only being rented back for a month. Do you have a question or are you just raising your hand?
No. Well, we would never recommend anything other than the full and honest truth. But what would have happened, you know, if they had just moved in or if they had closed and this just had never come up, the post-closing occupancy?
You know, I think the worst thing that could have happened is there was some catastrophic event. The house burns to the ground.
And they have no coverage.
Correct.
So yeah. So they would have, maybe they would have gone 60 days with no coverage until such time as they moved in and they hunt down some coverage.
Horrible. Yeah.
Well, I know. I'm just, okay.
I mean, or ill-advised, horrible, maybe too long. But yeah, and that was one of the bones of contention, David, was, well, you don't need insurance. This was a cash offer. It's like, oh, no. A sane person would want to have their $3 million property insured. you know, yes, on the day of closing.
I would agree.
This has nothing to do with whether you're cash off or having a mortgage. Well, so the bottom line is Florida insurance companies are looking for reasons not to write insurance. And so apparently they've come up with, oh, if there's any rental income, we ain't writing.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're trying to reduce their exposure. So I came up with the idea. I said, what if we just redefine the arrangement? And by the way, each agent was chipping in $5,000 to pay for the $10,000 of rent back. That was the original deal. Hey, the seller's going to pay $10,000. Oh, wait, the seller's not going to pay it. Each agent is going to chip in $5,000 each to pay for the seller's rent back. So on that Friday, I said, well, here's a crazy idea. Selling this to the real estate agent, the buyer's agent, and the buyer. What if we amended the contract and said the seller is staying in the property for 30 days as the guest of the buyer and strike the bit about the rent back? And then we just have to change the language that had already been, you know, committed to writing, that the $5,000 credit from each real estate broker was for closing costs and prepaids,
sure,
not for rent.
Yeah.
And I gave that about a 10% chance of working, like within a half an hour of sending that idea to the real estate broker. They contacted their carrier and they said, that's a great idea. We'll do it. Shazam. So the buyer.
Good job by you.
Thank you. Yeah, that didn't come. Yeah. So fine.
Because I remember from last week, your idea was we have to delay closing then. Because if the sellers can't figure out how to get out of the house, then you got to wait however many days.
That's right. So in the course of mulling this over the weekend, the listing agent comes up. Because remember, they had agreed to chip in $5,000. And all of a sudden, they're going, getting on their high horse and saying, well, we can't, we're going to renege on our $5,000 credit because there's a paper trail that says this was supposed to be for rent. And now to say that it's for something else, for closing costs and prepaids, we think that's improper and shady, and we can't be a part of that. This almost craters the deal, right?
Completely?
Completely. Because, you know, this is at the end of the process, David, and you know how things are at the end of any.
Oh, yes. What? No, our guy Kahneman.
Yeah, Kahneman. Right. Oh, you're absolutely right. So even though this is all about the insurance company, you know, we have negative emotions flowing both directions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the seller's fault. I'm like, what? And the buyer's like, or the seller's like, this is the buyer's fault, because it's all about the end of a process.
Yes.
And how that just really heightens the negative perceptions. You have a comment, or should I continue to the punch?
You didn't know this. Our guy Kahneman, he passed away on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh,
that's Daniel why. Kahneman. So fitting. You just brought it up naturally. Yeah. And he, so tip of the cap to Daniel Kahneman, age 90.
Great economist, behavioral economist, and wrote a great book, Thinking Slow and Fast. And bottom line is somehow then the listing agent comes to their senses and decides to honor their original commitment to chip in the $5,000. And with negative feelings in abundance.
Yes.
The buyers did close on time on Wednesday.
Oh, all right.
And I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time now. I've been babysitting this deal for a month, like almost every day.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about the real estate commissions, David, and how things are going to change with that and questions we're getting. But right now, it's time to turn it over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Don't break the bank to get into a house. Back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Easter Sunday edition of the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, managing owner. What am I? I'm the president. I'm the majority owner. I'm a lot of things at Acunet Mortgage. And that's David Wickert over there, our chief client experience officer, senior loan consultant. And I'm also a licensed real estate broker at Acunet Realty Advisors, although we don't really transact. The National Association of Realtors announced like 2 weeks ago now, I think, a big a proposed settlement because they were getting sued left and right along with major brokerages over commission practices. And what they were getting sued over in class action lawsuits, one state at a time, and they had lost at least one or two of these already, is that, you know, by the listing agent offering a set level of compensation to any cooperating broker in a transaction who brings in the buyer, you have artificially and intentionally inflated the level of real estate commissions, and that's like antitrust.
This is the thesis of all the lawsuits.
That's right, and that they lost.
Yes.
So in this proposed settlement, the National Association of Realtors is saying, okay, great. You know what? We're going to decouple the way that real estate agents who represent buyers get paid. It'll no longer be a blanket offer of compensation coming from the listing agent. You, Mr. Buyer, have to have a separate written agreement, a buyer's agency agreement, if you want to use a buyer's agent. The other alternative is don't have a buyer's agent, just work with the listing agent. And so this decoupling and de-standardization of what do agents who work with buyers get paid and who pays it is all up for grabs right now. The nice thing about the current system, and by the way, this is all going to change in July, so there's little time before the world changes, but the nice thing about the current system is from the buyer's perspective, it doesn't feel like they're paying the buyer's agent anything because it comes from the purchase price. The purchase price is paid. You know, let's use a simple example, $100,000. The listing agent gets 5%, let's say, gets $5,000 on that. And then they maybe keep $3,000 for themselves and they give $2,000 to the buyer's agent. It feels like it's coming from the seller, but it's really baked into the sale of the house, the sales price of the house. So now it's all up for grabs and buyer's agents are wondering how this is all going to work. David, you told me while getting ready for the show that you're getting questions left and right from real estate agents about how this is going to work. What are some of the typical questions you're getting?
Well, you know, above all else, to your point about decoupling, it is now going to be a bullet point in conversation between buyers and their agents. Whereas before, there was an implied compensation. It was listed. It was, you know, it was right there on the MLS, but now it's going to be a point of negotiation either between buyer and their agent or even between buyer, their agent, and the sales side.
Oh, and one thing I heard in a seminar put out by the Mortgage Bankers Association, I got to finish listening to it, but one of their points was the buyer's agency agreement cannot say, I, the buyer's agent, will take whatever compensation the seller is offering. That's somehow
well, if only because
ruled out
there,
in the settlement.
There is going to be no offering from the seller, as I understand it.
So what I think, I'll just jump to say what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's always been the case that sellers can pay for a buyer's closing costs and prepaids. Okay. Yes. And there are limits. Do you want to run down the limits of what the an interested party
can? If you put less than 10% down, those contributions or credits can only be 3% of the purchase price. If you put between 10 and 25% down, it that ceiling goes to 6% can be, they're called interested party contributions. And God bless you, if you put more than 25% down, you can have interested party contributions of 9% of the purchase price.
Okay. So I think what's going to be the most common practice, and I believe this is already kind of laid out as being permissible, is in MLS, the seller can say, hey, I am willing to pay 2%, whatever they want. Or they could say, I'm willing to pay $20,000. They could either fee or a percentage of the sales price toward buyers' closing costs and prepaids. That's perfectly fine.
Yes.
You and just then, cannot say it's for the buyer's agent commission. Go ahead.
And then what happens is your buyer's agent commission is itemized like a closing cost or a prepaid on your closing disclosure to be offset in your example by a credit toward closing costs and prepaids.
Hopefully from this.
I'll take the other side of that bet, but it is yet to be revealed.
All right. And by the way, the real estate commissions on that nice big near $3 million transaction we were just talking about in Florida, north of $85,000 each.
It was about to be zero from what you described.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like there's probably some room for those kinds of commissions to come down. All right, when we come back, David, do you have another story you want to tell us?
I have another retired person story when we come back.
All right, you're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Important home buying questions and answers you can count on. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm David. That's Brian over there. Dad, retired is not a swear word at Acunet Mortgage. Not when it comes to qualifying for a new mortgage, which I also enjoy anytime. I've helped some people in their 80s take out a new 30-year fixed, and they're just really? Really? You can do this?
You can do that?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not likely to live that long. It's like, oh, man, being dead is not a problem.
So
that's somebody else's problem.
Well, so the first part of the story, I got called by the agents because our client was working with a different mortgage lender. I got the call on Wednesday being like, hey, we have an appraisal contingency deadline of Monday, and our current lender hasn't ordered the appraisal yet. Can you help us?
Sure.
I was like, yeah. I was like, let's get this going. And so I connected the Acunet team, and appraiser, if I got the call on Wednesday, appraiser walked through on Friday, had the report on Monday, good to go. So damn. Kudos to the Acunet team for making it happen. Timelines, not a problem. We then, though, having tackled the appraisal kind of tight deadline, we turned our attention then to income. This client is going to be retiring as a school teacher at the end of the year out of the East Coast and moving back to the Milwaukee area where she's from originally.
Huh. This sounds like what's your new income source going to be, man?
Well, and so that was part of our conversation. She actually has already received her Social Security income.
Okay.
But her pension from the state, again, as a guy once told me, details matter in this mortgage business.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to get the pension? Yeah.
You can point to it, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is,
when will it be here? And our client was in this no man's land where because she has told the school district, I am retiring. I will not be here at the end, on June 2nd.
Next year.
I'm out.
Right.
So your mortgage lender, and, clients do this. They're like, well, but I have a job right now. Like, what do you mean you can't use my current job? It's like,
it's not going to continue for 36 months, so we can't use it, ma'am.
Which is a reasonable question, but right. It's like, let me pull you into mortgage world, which is this weird Alice in Wonderland sometimes. But then as we turn then, it's like, okay, well, you're going to get this retirement income. Your closing date is in April, which means your first payment is June 1st, but you're not going to get that pension payment until maybe July or August.
And future income doesn't work for pensions, David?
You can. You need to receive the pension income before the first payment. So our first diagnosis was, well, can we move the closing out to May 1st, because then your first payment's not till July 1st.
July, right.
But as we kept reading, we got more details about the pension, and the language was so squishy about receipt. It's like, you're not going to get this pension money until probably August. And the sellers just weren't willing to kick it out till, June for closing to accommodate. So again, we're kind of in this no man's land. Can't use your, teacher money. Pension hasn't arrived yet. As it's like an economist, like you said last week, you're either late or early.
Yeah.
When it comes to income in this example, you're not wrong. You're just late or early. So I reached for one of our favorite tools. Our client has pre-tax retirement money from two other higher institutions of learning that she had worked at during her career.
Oh.
I was like, let's get two letters, one from the one and one from the other. Be like, you are going to create new income from these assets.
There you go.
And that's how we're going to get to the closing table. Because, so I've got her Social Security. I've got this new income and a good down payment. That's going to be enough to carry the day. In real life, am I, David, worried about her ability to pay this? No, because she's got income, she's got assets, yeah, and there's this pension in the future sometime. But as we say, we're in the problem-solving business, and particularly when you're on a deadline. Like,
that's right.
Right. Because she wants this house. It's a cute house on the south side. And, you know, as she's describing, it's like, I kind of wasn't expecting to do this, you know, as soon as
all
I
of
am,
a sudden happened.
Because
yeah,
all of a sudden there's this really cute house and it all, it's real life. And so our job is to try to, as best we can, wrangle the tools that we have so that she can get to the real life part of this.
So there's two things that come to my mind. One is, this is what we try to do ahead of time in the rock solid guaranteed pre-approval.
Yes.
Is flesh out all these issues.
She was not rock solid. Them.
No, no. Yeah. You said she started out with some other lender who didn't even order the appraisal on time. So that's one thing. The other thing is, we're kind of like high priests of an obscure religion where, you know, we interpret the Bible of mortgage lending, and it's written in some odd language that doesn't sometimes make sense, but you know, we kind of know all the rules, and it's our job to navigate that. Hey, when we come back, David, there was an interesting article quoting Barbara Cochran, the star of Shark Tank, and because she made all of her millions in real estate, talking about what she thinks is going to happen to home prices when mortgage rates get back down around 6%. We'll cover that when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Find a place to call home without the headache. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, Easter Sunday edition. Also, March 31st, which was my mother's birthday, your grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she would have been 94 had she if she was still alive.
Yep.
And I bring that up because she loved Shark Tank. She loved watching Shark Tank. Yeah.
Okay.
And so Barbara Cochran is one of the stars of Shark Tank. And she, made her millions in real estate. Mm-hmm. And so she was quoted recently, I think she was interviewed on Fox News, talking about how, you know, because current rates folks are still right around 6.99%. And so she came out and said, well, you know, when rates get down to 6 or a hair under, Katie bar the door. She thinks that there are 10 buyers, at least, for every house that's for sale. And a lot of them are just waiting for rates to come back down. And when they do come down, it's going to just open up. And she thinks the magic rate is 6 or under. It's going to open up the floodgates. Now, what do you think of that, David?
She must listen to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show Sunday mornings at 10:07 on 620 WTMJ.
She did not quote us, but here's a little interesting math. So the median sales price and the five count, what?
I just love the incrementalism. Oh, 6%. Well, why not 6.25? Why not 6.375?
It's the emotional thing.
Why is that the...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's because it seems significant. Now, how significant is it? Well, I just ran the numbers. This is on a $310,000 purchase with 25% down. Maybe I should have done less money down. But at 25% down, you could get a 6.99 30-year fixed rate today from Acunet Mortgage if you have 780 credit and all the other right stuff. And that principal interest payment would be $1,545. If rates dropped down to 5.99%, that would knock your payment down by $153.
Okay.
That's more that you know, that's something.
If you could buy that house for the same price.
Right. So now I did the calculation and I say, how much, if the home went up 10% in value because of this increased demand, which is kind of what she's projecting. That would put your payment back up to $1,527, or you'd be like almost all the way back to where you were with rates higher. So to what degree is Barbara Cochran going to be correct that demand goes up and thus pushes up supply? We don't know, but we're certainly seeing it. You're seeing multiple offers, right, for your customers right now?
Well, yes, and not just in that meat of the market, you know, 150 to 450. I have clients above $500,000, and it's competitive even in that stratosphere.
And to what degree are you talking? Like under 5 offers, more than 10? What are
I'm gonna say a half dozen.
Okay, half dozen.
Because there's just not enough homes for sale. It's that simple.
Yep.
And it's not going to get, well, what's implied in Ms. Cochran's notes, if rates, oh man, rates went from 6.99 to 5.99, that is not going to dislodge enough sellers to put the for sale sign in their yard, you know, curing the supply and demand.
The supply problem, right? It's only going to boost demand
Take it to its extent. If rates went to zero and every seller could trade in their 3% for a 0%, you still wouldn't solve the supply and demand. You could dislodge every seller and it still wouldn't solve the supply and demand dynamic.
All right. So, hey, if you're a buyer out there or about to be a buyer, you need a sharp team to help you navigate these continued tight inventory waters, and we think we're the best. Give us a shout. Click on the blue button and let us put together a rock-solid pre-approval plan for you before you go out there and start writing offers. It's always fun, and it's good topics to talk about on the radio when we're, you know, saving deals left and right because they started out somewhere else and didn't do their homework.
But we much prefer boring mortgage, which we can deliver with rock-solid pre-approvals.
That's right. And I have a nice couple, 25 years old, that's got their accepted offer and things are progressing there. So we'll be ready to close them here by the, I think it's toward the end of April. They did have a little hitch in the giddy up on the inspection, but the sellers agreed to fix the two problems. So we're back on path and going to be closed before you know it. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll see you back here next week. You've been listening to the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620. WTMJ.
The proceeding was a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during the Accunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts or guests of Accunet Mortgage and Accunet Realty Advisors, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.